T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dawson's got a lot of options. They have assets. I'm told they have been really aggressive out in the marketplace. I'm told they don't want to have 3 rookies on the team. You could expect one way or another, at least one, maybe 2 of those picks end up somewhere else.
Dale Arnold.
Can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
Rich Keefe.
He cut off Mark James's balls and turned them into a stromboni.
Oh, damn!
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Kevin Durant.
Holder.
Yeah,
Holder.
Boy, that escalated quickly.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI. Dale is off again today. He'll be back tomorrow. Jermaine Wiggins, Andy Hart are filling in.
Where was Dale?
Dale is up in Maine.
He had to make a trip to outer space.
Because remember the old days, I used to play the game, like, how could Dale die on his vacation?
Oh, boy, you and Wiggy both.
Yeah,
sort of like
I had a seat to slide into.
I had him in the death pool going first.
Yeah, believe it or not, he went to the Dominican Republic. He said, you know what, I got a good deal on it. $500, all inclusive.
Well, he's fine, because anything he puts in his mouth
will go
down, and the Dalian will eat that up.
The Dalian?
Yes.
You can't kill the Dalian.
The Dalian only makes him stronger.
No, that's a good point. I didn't
it's just a matter of time before it shoots out of his belly.
And we're all waiting for it. It could happen at any moment. I feel like you're going to be around when it does.
I don't know.
I feel like you probably would be.
You're with him every day,
I am.
So...
I know.
You have to.
But I think you're the one who brings it out of him more than anybody else.
Right, but that's a good point.
Yeah,
but
so,
I'm only with you guys for an hour and 15
hour
minutes.
Well, 50.
Oh, it's 50.
55.
It varies.
It's 11 to 1 every Wednesday. Rip the knobs off. You do.
No, I don't.
Not the break schedule. It's confusing.
Yeah, I don't get a full 2 hours.
Well, who does? Who does anymore? Jason's leaning towards the microphone.
Well, what time do you want to come in, Wiggy?
Well, no, 11. If I'm on at 11, 2 hours means I roll out at 1:01.
You can do that then, because we're still not back yet, so you got it.
Yeah, you can stay.
Next Wednesday,
you
can stay until 1:01.
If you want to sit in the studio until 1:01,
you
can. No,
I get my last segment, which is 1 to 120, which will make up.
Now you get just a bonus, one bonus segment. The story of the day, or I guess one of the stories of the day, Al Horford is not picking up his player option, so he'll be an unrestricted free agent. But one of the other stories, courtesy of the Boston Globe, Ben Volen.
The real story.
That's the headline. The real story in the Patriots-Texans clash. Nick Caserio wants out. And we've all read the article. It reads as what?
A report.
A report.
Of news.
That he's for some reason, it's just not working here no more, and he's tired of this.
There's no sources, but it says in the... It is interesting, though, as you break it down as a news story. Generally, you don't put what would be considered your lead or your hook, your news item in the 5th paragraph.
Your thesis statement.
You don't really bury the news in the 5th paragraph, but he makes sure you know it's coming because he writes, the real story is this colon.
Oh, but anytime you see a colon, I pay attention.
Pay attention. This is important.
He's got to get your
Batman
colon checked.
V Superman, colon, Dawn of Justice.
A lot of people die of a colon.
What?
You got to always get your colon checked.
No, that's actually a great point.
Yes. It is.
That's a PSA.
It's public, so yeah. It's Wiggy, looking out for everyone.
All right.
Nick Caserio wants out of New England.
Oof.
So that's got to be.
Feels like.
I think
not
that.
Not even a source, or I think that.
No, no
or
source.
Signs
means he wants
point
out.
Two, it says, as fact, Nick Caserio wants out of New England.
And then how does he follow that up?
He says, specifically, comma.
So anytime you drop a specifically
and
in
then
there,
a comma.
He wants that Texans job, comma.
Yeah, that Texans job.
Even though it was more of a lateral move than a true promotion.
I disagree with that. You're not technically the GM in New England. And you know that every player decision, trade, free agent, whatever, is Bill Belichick's.
Correct.
You can talk to him all you want. You can give him all the input. And maybe he'll take it. Maybe he won't. If he was the GM in Houston... Isn't he getting either his way 100% of the time or at least like 75-80% of the
time? Well, I would say at least 50-50. If you go there, you and Billy O'Brien are having a discussion,
I would say 50-50,
right?
Yeah.
And you're going to get the upper hand sometimes. In New England,
never.
The only way you're making a decision is if Bill
doesn't care.
I'm going to Nantucket. Pick one of these 3 tight ends to add to the bottom of the roster.
Right. Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm on vacation.
So then,
find a guy.
So then, therefore, as I'm learning, as we're going here.
Yeah, we are.
It's not a lateral move then.
I think it's a promotion.
It sounds like a promotion.
Now, does he get final control? That would be in the contract. Who decides on the 53-man
roster? But if you were really going to lure him away from New England, wouldn't that be what you have to give him?
But who's luring?
Your guy, Jack Easterby.
Maybe Jack Easterby, which I am just dying for somebody to actually talk about.
But which Jack Easterby, his title for the Texans? Isn't it like
player development or player? Like, look it up. You're good.
I'll get it. I'm great.
Player development. So he wouldn't be the one hiring. Wouldn't you think that it would be
Cal McNair? The owner, the CEO
and
chairman.
Is he the vice president of player operations?
No. So my question is, Billy O'Brien has been there through multiple GMs.
Yes.
Seemingly has won power struggles or stayed put while others were asked to leave the building.
So he has some clout over there.
Right? But is he hiring Nick Caserio?
No.
Or does he say, listen, Cal McNair, this is a guy, I'm telling you, I worked with him in New England. He is not in Belichick's shadow.
Right.
He is the next big thing. He can run a team.
And
bring
we would
him
work
here.
Well together.
But you need to interview him, Cal. Right. You know, you need to, you're the decision maker. You bring him in and we'll work on the same footing.
Because clearly you're seeing the owner of the Texans or the CEO, whoever's in charge going, we like Billy O'Brien, but we don't like this GM. Right. So we're blowing them out the door. And when you usually when you see a coach stay put and a GM get blown out the door, that usually tells me that that coach has some clout in that organization.
It happened with Adam Gase in New York just recently.
They let the Jets GM sign Le'Veon Bell and all these other guys and draft and everything else, and then they can him. Jack Easterby's title is Executive Vice President Team Development.
See, he's developing the
team.
What
is that?
But I don't know. That doesn't really sound like he has any input into
But he's the one that's at the ring ceremony trying to get Caserio to join up with him, right?
Here's another layer.
Okay.
By the way, that is allegedly.
That's allegedly?
Allegedly. I don't know that we know for sure that he was the one. Mm. The timing, certainly circumstantially,
we gotta get a
looks
mole
bad.
In there. That's
that
what we
Thursday
need.
Night, he's at the ring ceremony.
Yeah.
Friday, they fire their GM.
I'm going to add it
and
up.
And they want Caserio.
I'm going to add it up.
That's a lot of good evidence.
Yes.
But Jack Easterby was brought here to New England as a
character coach.
Character coach slash player development.
Right.
You know, some of those programs they do with the players, education and family, and
you know, go
how to
out
balance
there,
a checkbook.
Right. Book reading and
domestic violence prevention. I'm sure all of that type of stuff.
Right.
Well, you got to do that.
No, I guess.
Right. How to deal with the media.
Right. Yeah. How to say nothing to the media. But so then he goes
did a great
there.
Job.
He clearly escalated. I mean, elevated his role.
Mm-hmm.
But on the way out the door, Ben Volen also was the one that reported, and you can probably Google this again because you're much quicker.
Listen, I already know what you're going to say. Is this about the Robert Kraft stuff?
No.
Okay.
That everybody knows and talks about. When Jack Easterby left New England, Ben Volen wrote that he was a key decision maker in personnel. And everybody, I know, I can tell you for a fact, everybody else on the beat was like, what? What? Google it.
I'm not going to Google it. I also have a computer.
I will Google for
everybody
you.
Everybody has a computer.
The day he left New England, the Globe wrote it. And Volen wrote that,
is that what?
Easterby was more than just a chaplain slash character coach slash development. He was involved
Kaiser
in decision
Soze.
Making. And then he goes to Houston.
Yes.
And now everybody's saying he's Billy O's right-hand man. Like, he's elevated to this
he's
level.
He's Ernie Adams.
Where he's making football
like
decisions.
Ernie Adams.
Rossi, have you ever seen Andy Hart this excited? He literally reminds me of Ace Ventura. He's like, that's why Roger Predactor is dead. He found Captain Winky.
Wait, he's been practicing this for 20 plus years. All right, this is his this is his moment.
Sounds like
Ben Volen's like a thorn in his side.
I think so. I
actually like Ben
that.
More than most people do.
Okay,
I get along great with Ben, but
trolling Volen.
Sometimes you got to call him out.
Okay.
Now, if I'm piecing this all together from afar, what would I say? He praises Jack Easterby as more than what his role would indicate in New England when he's leaving.
The whole thing stinks.
And
the
then
high heaven.
Reports that Nick Caserio wants to come to Houston, where everybody says Jack Easterby is the guy that's sort of
Jack
helping
Easterby.
Lure him. Feels like Volen is tied in with Jack Easterby.
I feel
reports
like
have
he
indicated
might
what? Who shares
I'm having
an
a hard
agent?
Time following.
Who shares an agent?
Jack Easterby.
And?
Nick Caserio.
Wouldn't it seemingly sound like Ben Volen is tied into those two guys somehow, and what ties those two guys together?
The agent?
the agent.
Ah, see, I'm paying attention. Well, Wiggy, right. There's going to be a test on this.
I found it. It says Easterby worked behind the scenes in Foxborough with the title of character coach / team development, and he became a crucial voice for Bill Belichick in the personnel department.
Never before had that been written, spoken of, talked about, alluded to, anything. That was on his way out the door.
So something's afoot here.
So last November called him the most influential Patriot you've never heard about.
Wow. That's quite a title.
High praise.
That is high praise.
So it certainly feels to me like Ben has some contact with the agent.
Yes.
Who could have possibly told him, listen, he wants out. Nick wants out. He wants the Houston job. You can't tie that to me, so just write it however you want to write it. Now, Ben is saying, I wrote it as an opinion piece. I think he wants out.
That might be what he's saying.
Maybe
now, first
this was
of all,
a space issue, and he wrote, I think Nick Caserio wants
out. That out.
Now, we don't have room for the I think. Let's go.
Toss that, please.
Have a slant, hot take, let's go.
So this is obviously a big story down in Houston, and what's this dude's name again, Rossi, that was on Houston radio?
Landry Locker. He recorded
Landry Locker. Yeah, he was laying in bed, right? And he had some thoughts on what's going on with this
situation. The fine print in the contract. That's what this comes down to. Kraft, you dirty SOB. You dirty bastard. Of course, the guy who gets rubbing tugs at hole-in-the-wall spas on the day of AFC championship games would have some shady fine print in the contract. He's basically holding people hostage there, man. Belichick, you dirty SOB. Brady, don't have too much bad to say about you. Patriots beat the Texans again. Doesn't matter if it's in the playoffs. Doesn't matter if Jacoby Brissett's starting. Doesn't matter if it's week one when B.O.B. says it's not his job. Patriots top the Texans again for now. Although I hear Caserio's contract's up after next season. Can you function without a GM for a year? Maybe there is hope. Until then, I'm crawling in a hole till Monday.
So that was this weekend.
Somebody's
he recorded that.
Yeah,
he's sad. He's having
very upset.
He's, I guess, a midday host down there, so he's on right now. And nothing bad to say about Brady, though.
Did he think Bill was going to let Caserio
but, like, yeah, what does he mean? Like, so there's a clause in the contract, meaning he's under contract through the 2020 draft.
Well,
so,
but people are saying there's language, and Cal McNair referenced it. Remember, they both teams issued statements last Friday? Saturday?
Yeah, during, after all the tampering stuff.
You know, we had a conversation, Cal McNair, Robert Kraft, when we were made aware of language or something in his contract. We are no longer pursuing him. The Patriots are no longer pursuing tampering charges. We're making nice. We're all going to walk away happy. And it just, I still get back to the Ben thing aside. Where did the tampering charges come from? I feel like Nick is the one that would have blown the whistle.
Yeah, he would. He
Bill Easterby talked to me last night.
No, you're not convinced that he wants out, is what you're saying.
I am not, except I feel like it was bold of Ben to write it.
Yeah, right.
Without any information. He didn't tell us where the information comes from. League source, team source, player source. But it feels like he has information.
Well, it would be like if
yeah, like if, his deal runs through the 2020 draft. Who the hell would know that?
Well,
like,
his agent,
right? No, well, yeah, right, exactly.
And no one would know that he's talking or his agent is talking to the Texans about him potentially coming on as the GM. No one in New England would know that unless, like you said, Nick had said, "Hey, listen, Bill, you know I might have this opportunity coming up." I know, you know, because they probably know about the tampering thing. He's probably just doing this on, like, you know, with friends. Hey, I talked to, you know, my agent talked to them. There's a lot of interest in me going down there. And then he has to realize and know, like, would y'all let me out of my contract or not?
But the other thing is, why did it take the Texans an extended period of time to see the language in Caserio's contract if his agent is also Jack Easterby's agent, who's pursuing Caserio, wouldn't his agent have a copy of the contract?
Yes. Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
He didn't read it? No, he didn't sign that contract with him because he just added him.
But he should have a look at it now.
You
hire me as your agent.
Yeah, let me see your old contract.
I need to see your old contract as we prepare for the future.
Right.
No, what I can do with you, what I can't do with you, whatever.
I know the Texans want you, but let me see if there's anything in here that allows us to get out of this contract.
So did he be, you know, oh, crap, I probably should have read that.
Yeah, he should have read the whole thing. So Volan also says, if Caserio wanted to stay in New England, he would have just turned down the Texans' overtures. Instead, the Patriots had to lawyer up to enforce Caserio's contract.
Right.
Is that necessarily true, though? Because if they tampered with it, so say another radio station wanted Andy, and Andy didn't want to go. This is a hypothetical,
okay.
Obviously.
Are they offering good money?
It's hard to believe.
No.
But let's say
we're talking like $200.
Yeah. They're not offering much. But they are after you. They're after you. They're after you. And let's say it's a relatively competitive station to ours. Mm-hmm. Why would we want to just be like, let it go? Like, because you have no interest in the job, but they're doing something they're not supposed to do.
Right. So, but I'm pretending I have interest, so hopefully you guys give me a raise.
And then I'm like, all right, we're going to file tampering charges.
Right. Fire Andy.
Or we're going to fire Andy. No. First thing we're going to do is like, we don't like any of this. I think you're done.
That's probably part of it. That's probably why one of the reasons why you asked who leaked it. That's probably the reason why Nick's agent leaked it, to say, okay, once we start getting out, because, you know, if you've been around any type of contract, the only way you get any type of leverage is if there's somebody else that wants you, right? So now if the Patriots know that the Texans are really after him, maybe this allows him to say, you know what? Oh, next year I'm staying because the Patriots offered me a nice contract.
He's had other interviews, right? Or at least other teams have approached
him. He was offered
the
Miami Dolphins job.
That's right.
3 years ago now, 2.5, 3 years ago. It was like a January thing. Interviewed, offered the job, turned it down, decided to stay, probably get a bump in pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Last year, Patriots refused to allow him to speak with the Texans,
I believe.
And Monty Austinford at the same time. They wanted to interview both of them. Let me ask you a question, mm-hmm. Wiggy, because you just sort of posed this conversation. Nick comes in. Bill, listen, the Texans are sort of interested in me. Any chance that's how it played out, and Nick thought it was friend to friend, mentor to
right.
pupil,
mentee.
Is that what it is?
Manatee?
Manatee.
Manatee.
They're endangered.
They are endangered. Aren't they whales?
Not really.
No. You can't touch them in Florida. You get arrested.
Manatees?
You go to jail.
Don't touch them.
Oh, my God.
No, don't touch them. You can save a manatee.
Yes.
They're big water animals.
Right. They're walrus, like a rock. Yeah.
Walrus type yeah. without the tusks.
I'm the whale family.
So,
I don't know about that.
All right. Focus, boys. Focus. Okay. Focus. Let's get back to Caserio.
Okay, so where
so
we,
okay. He comes into Bill yes. and says, listen, they're kind of interested. Mm-hmm. They got an opening. I'm kind of interested. And maybe he thought that would be a little friend to friend.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Bill goes, the hell they're interested. That's called tampering. And maybe Nick's like, uh-oh. This isn't going what I... Just one thing I'll pose. Second thing I'll pose. Last February at the Super Bowl, during media week.
Okay.
I can tell you, I walked into availability. You know how they have those ballrooms, everybody's sitting down, coaches, Bill and Tom go to the podium, everybody else sits at tables. And Nick Caserio, not listed on the schedule, doesn't need to be there, is my understanding. And sitting at a table is one Nick Caserio.
Hmm.
Why would he be there?
What does it mean?
Question I asked at the time without an answer. Question I ask now, maybe with an answer. Notoriety. Drum up some interest.
Hey,
get my
look
name
at me.
Out
yeah,
there.
I'm
in the background
guy.
A lot here, but remember, the reason we're in the Super Bowl again in part is Nicholas C. Caserio.
Because doesn't he want someone like Thomas Dimitroff moved on, has been very successful.
Scott Pioli.
Right, but what you want when you
Hook
move
maybe
on,
could be back.
And I think what you want, what you want when you move on and you're in that position, because everybody knows it, this is the Bill. And like you said, I was with the Jets when Belichick became the head coach and Parcells was there. There comes a point in time when that guy wants to be out of the shadow of a legendary coach. And when you're Nick Caserio, you want to be out of the shadow of Bill Belichick because you know...
Maybe.
Well,
hypothetically, we're speaking.
I mean, he's been there for 19 years. I think anybody would maybe want to try something else.
Still relatively young.
But to a
Early 40s, I think.
Yeah, but to a certain extent, you look at it and go, okay, Bill, this is Bill's ship, right? I'm just the kind of like...
He is the captain
the
now.
Captain, right?
But what it is it's like, you see those pirate ships where the captain is like... In the cabin, eating, having fun.
Right.
Somebody's steering the ship.
Right.
Yeah. Nick's steering the ship.
Right.
Nick's making sure
Who's
they
that guy? Who's that
get to
poor,
plunder down the road. They find something to plunder.
Right.
A manatee, perhaps, which is also sometimes referred to as a sea cow.
Okay.
That's
that helps.
Not nice.
No, not really.
That seems like offensive.
Wow.
Well, they're big.
To the manatee.
They're big. They take up a lot of space there.
What's wrong with cows?
But if I say you're
a cow?
Yeah. I don't think that's friendly. Like if you walked up to a group of women.
Well, I wouldn't. Call them cows.
I bet your ball would.
Well, maybe that's the
LeVar Ball would. Yeah, LeVar Ball might.
If they're a little bit hefty, you'd say manatee.
And they might take
Hey, manatees.
You're like a land manatee.
That's your opening line.
Like.
I mean,
but what I always go back to.
If you were a little bit overweight, you don't think a woman would walk up to you and go, man, you're a cow.
Tom Brady did call the offensive line a bunch of cows on the practice field.
Nothing wrong with being a cow.
No, that's true. No.
Better than being called husky.
They got
Husky is
passive aggressive offensive.
It is.
Well, he's just big bone. That's
nobody's saying
husky
that. That's
section.
Not true.
It's like, hey, you're a fat
kid. Bulky today.
Bulky.
Bulky's
now you're a roll.
Bulky's good.
Old bulky roll.
I'd rather be bulky than big boned.
You know what they said? So my my daughter, who is on her way in like a week from now,
right?
The last ultrasound, they said she's chunky.
She's chunky.
That's good, though, with a baby.
They said she's eating your points.
Well, at that age, a lot it's of a
babies,
compliment.
Yeah, a lot of babies are chunky.
No, I know. Yeah. I go, that, I read that as healthy.
Healthy.
So I'm reading that as no healthy. We got a little chunky on the way.
So she's 16 and they call her chunky, she's going to be offended. Well,
it's going to be a tough talk that we're going to have.
Six or seven, if somebody goes, oh, you got a little chunky one there.
Yeah.
You might want to, you know.
No, yeah. At what point do you lose sort of like the baby fat? Or like at what point should
six or seven, you are.
Oh, that old.
Yeah, you don't want to be referring them.
So if she's like a little 4-year-old tank, that's fine?
No. No,
so I'm saying.
See, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I
know. How many?
Because when you start to middle school, when you start to mature.
Wait, middle school?
Elementary school, you can be.
Childhood obesity.
5 years old.
Into.
5 years old is healthy.
Okay.
5 years old is one to. When you. When
Dr. Wiggy.
When your child's being called chunky a lot, you want to get on it then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So I'll wait till she's bullied and then respond.
Well, no, you want to make sure that you're right where you need.
I think she's just healthy as an ox right now. That's what that's what it sounds like.
We got to see
female
her
female described as an ox.
Healthy as.
Right.
As an ox.
As an nice angel. Yes. As a beautiful princess.
Let's circle back to Lakeisha's weight.
Yeah.
Are we going with Lakeisha?
That's one of the finalists.
Didn't it was LaDasha.
I think I came up with the Lakeisha.
Lakeisha.
Yeah.
With an apostrophe.
We knew how to spell it.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, I think we came up with the name.
I'm still last minute trying to get Gamora over, get that.
I don't like Lakeisha Keefe, like the KK there.
That's kind of nice. I think that's what pops.
We've already talked about that. Lakeisha Keefe means I need to see her play basketball.
Yeah.
The scholarship.
She's a good player.
Scholarship.
But she's hefty, so I don't know.
No, maybe softball.
Right.
Yeah,
no,
maybe
rugby.
Rugby she could do.
Listen, nothing wrong with being a little hefty.
She's like Barkley.
Right. Yeah.
Round mound of rebounds.
That's true.
Works out well.
Yeah.
Big old butt.
That might
box
be what,
out.
All right, let's not get too specific here. What's going on.
When's she coming?
She's due the 25th. So
will be
hope you guys aren't busy.
I got my shifts open.
I got my phone.
Hope you guys aren't busy.
Oh, Shyam.
Busy, be ready.
Shyam, you might like this. What about this? As a betting guy, we could do a pool. Everybody picks a day, everybody throws in some money, and whatever the day is, everybody collects.
That's an extremely original idea.
All right, Shyam, I don't
I thought
that
he was going to say because...
You know what, you're out of the pool.
Shyam,
I'd love to.
I thought Keith was going to go because she is a little bit, what do they call
chunky,
it?
Chunky, they're calling her right now, chunky.
Then we would say what would be...
Oh,
how
her
much,
weight?
Yeah, would
oh,
she
that's,
weigh?
Oh, boy.
Ooh, I like that one a little more, a little less predictable.
Chunky not good for your wife, either.
Chunky,
right?
What do you mean?
There's a process.
Just 10 pounds dropping out.
I'd be looking for bowl to pop out, not chunky.
She's
bowl. She's doing it. She's going natural, right?
That was the plan.
Oh God, and she's chunky.
That's the plan.
Well, little Barkley's coming out.
Yeah, I hope she's not listening. As long as she's not going to be happy hearing this.
This is her first one.
That's right.
Okay. So,
yeah.
I mean,
ooh.
If she's eight, you know, if she's 9 pounds, 10 ounces, that's a big one.
Nine pounds would be big.
That's a big one.
Well, if she's like me, probably.
I've seen the Photoshop thing for you.
There's a good chance.
As long as she doesn't come off feet first.
Anyway, yeah, hopefully sooner rather than later then.
Yeah,
she's ready to go. They say she's like fully developed, ready to rock and roll.
Nice.
My wife had 3 kids, and I couldn't tell you what happened from the neck down.
I could not either. I stayed above the curtain.
That's what I'm looking to do.
I stayed straight in the eyes.
Yep. Right up there.
One of mine, a little drop of blood somehow flicked out and landed on my shoe, and I was like,
oh, no. Oh,
literally, the nurse grabbed me and says, you need to sit down. As soon as I saw the blood hit my shoe.
Stay in the eyes.
Yep. I watched senior year of high school. We watched the Miracle of Life video. Ugh, I've never been the same.
You guys are just babies.
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the eyes.
I admit it.
Shyam, you're a big fan of that?
Right. Do you like
I have
watch,
no problem
do you
with
like
it.
Watching it's, kids it's, come out the birth canal?
Shyam has a strong stomach. He's fine.
I want to see how it comes out the birth canal. What's that right there?
It's the beauty of human life, Wiggy. Come on.
Now, is it supposed to get that big?
Would you eat the placenta, Shyam?
That I'll avoid. I'd rather eat a whole horse's heart.
It's supposed to be really good.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Okay, so when you have kids, he's going to be videotaping and everything down there.
He'll be right down there.
Get that angle. No, hold on.
Catcher's mitt out.
Hold on, Doc. Let me get from the upside.
Let me grab a foot.
I want to show what's going to be your kid's name. Do we know yet?
LaDasha.
Depends. Is it a guy or a girl?
Let's say it's a boy.
His name's going to be Grayson.
Oh, let's. Hey, I want to show.
What a psychopath.
I want to show Grayson in 10 years how he came to be. I need to get this upshot in.
You got to watch that. Yeah, you got to watch that
he
for
likes
sure.
He trip people, too. He trips the doctor and he pops out.
All right, we got Kiefer Madness coming up next. We got Trending Now, though.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Kiefer Madness?
Kiefer Madness?
Yes, I'm ready for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Now.
Rack that one up for Kiefer Madness, will you?
Is he going to talk about ducks wearing clothes and stuff?
What did you say?
Going to be like Kiefer Madness. He's going to be in a great build-up and then nothing.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay. So screw you, Keefe.
Yeah.
Right. Screw you.
Nice. We don't need you.
Stupid jerk.
We don't need you.
Kiefer Madness. Rich Keefe is just that guy makes you laugh.
Kiefer Madness.
I don't think this is one of the stronger segments.
Luckily, I keep toilet paper in the car at all times.
Dalen Keefe, brought to you by J.N. Phillips.
I would do what I'm supposed to do on The Purge, kill people.
The every guy, your blue-collar guys.
FW Wed Companies. FW Wed Companies.
Thank you, Jason. Seamless today.
FW Wed Companies.
Way to go. It's time for Kiefer Madness. You might not have been able to tell by the intro, but it is Kiefer Madness time. It is Jermaine Wiggins, Annie Hart, filling in for Dale today.
This is new for us.
I'm excited to have you guys here for this. This is a real
treat.
So
why'd you leave the room, then?
Yeah, you're on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, because they promised when we moved buildings that they were going to be able to put the app or whatever that I need to run this in there.
So
and they lied. So I have to come into the producer's room to run it.
So for like people who don't know.
Yeah, I'm in a different room.
Yeah, he's in a different room. And I'm like, where's Keith?
My neck's going to be sore.
So this
it's not great.
This is like behind the scenes.
But I'm the only one who does this. So they're like, who cares?
He can
my point is, so they're not going to do anything about it.
So this is the documentary.
No.
When they see the documentary, they'll be like, wow, this is Kiefer Madness.
Yeah, he's jumping all around.
So you don't have a lot of pull around here.
None.
Okay.
None. Just happy to be here, really.
No, don't need to align with you then.
No, I would not. I would go anywhere else.
Find a better alliance with more power.
That's absolutely
right. It's like, you know, that game show. You don't want to be with Keith.
Survivor. Yeah, no. You don't want. You
just
don't
found
want to
out Keith, not my guy.
Nope. I'm not like the naked guy from the first season that won the whole thing. That's the guy you want to be your friends with. All right, we go out to Minnesota for this story. Wiggy, you lived in Minnesota for a little bit.
I lived in Minnesota for some time.
This is a little bit different. It is real cold.
Yeah, that Super Bowl was awful.
But it is a nice place.
The worst.
Beautiful place.
Yeah,
summertime.
Yeah, summer.
And I didn't realize they had kind of like rednecks out there, but apparently they do.
Yeah, a lot.
I didn't realize that.
They got some hillbillies.
They really do.
They had a couple toothless Hoosiers out there.
Toothless Hoosiers.
A lot of racism there?
For what?
Minnesota.
Was there? I mean, there's racism everywhere.
Lot, though?
Oh, when you're black, it's all over the place.
Okay.
All right, let's bring it back to this, if we could.
This Rossi is one of those stories you have to see to believe. Now, I can confirm it ends here at this Blaine Speedway behind me over there at pump number 9.
So this guy's super animated. He's super excited to be out there. He's standing in front of a gas station. He can promise us that the story ends in front of pump number 9.
Good detail.
Exactly. This isn't some guy that just got the story
last
minute.
He's at the race speedway.
No, he is not. He is at a like a gas
station.
That's
the
speedway is the name of it.
The company.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I thought you meant
Oh, okay.
It's not like the Indy 500
track. No, he is not there. Okay. No, he's not there.
It ends here at this Blaine Speedway behind me over there at pump number 9. And it begins about a mile and a half away with a young 4-year-old boy with a hankering for some early morning candy.
Hankering for a hunka.
I mean, who amongst us hasn't been hankering for some candy?
So
early
we
in the
know
morning?
Some so young boy wants some candy.
4-year-old wants some candy.
Okay.
Starts like a mile and a half away from a gas station.
And under Wiggy's rules, he's got about one more year to eat that candy.
Yeah.
Then he's fat, and you got to get a
then you
got to
trim him up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, you
treadmill.
Don't want to be chunky.
Get him a Bowflex.
Right. Or make him a lineman.
Get him on awaken 180.
What if you want to be like a nice fullback?
Yeah.
Well, fullbacks are obsolete. No one wants fullbacks.
Oh, the hell they
there
are.
There we go. Debate.
James
Embrace
Devlin
debate.
On line one.
Embrace debate.
Pro Bowl fullback.
Well, of course, because there's two fullbacks in the league.
And how fast were you going? Do you know?
I hit just gas brake and like that.
And what were you, where were you going?
To the gas station.
How come?
Because I have Reese's.
That's right.
He ran out of
Reese's. 4-year-old boy drove a truck to the gas station.
A real truck.
To get Reese's. A real truck.
Not a Power Wheels, battery operated Bigfoot.
Nope. A real truck. Similar to the one that Andy Hart smashed into a parking lot.
Seems like
sign.
A wide ranging cheap shot that was unnecessary to
this
the
This 4-year-old made it all the way to the gas station without hitting anybody.
I'll tell you what.
You couldn't get out of a parking lot in elementary school.
Well, what time? Was there sun glare? Are we talking 6 o'clock at night?
This kid pulled up. We'll find out.
I think it
we'll
sounds like daytime. Well, obviously, it's good parenting, anyways.
It's
I mean,
it's unbelievable. Unbelievable job. Unbelievable job by these
Where's
guys.
Where's this kid's parents?
Keeping an eye. Well, you're going to hear from one of them.
He's got a bright future.
Yeah, he really does.
Let's just say little Sebastian is a little mischievous.
Okay, calm down. Calm down, guy.
Wait, how old is this reporter? Like 20-something out of college?
He's probably in his 30s.
I thought he was like 15.
Hasn't moved on to a bigger market yet.
No, not yet, but he's really mastered this one.
Let's just say little Sebastian is a little mischievous.
Let's say that. Okay. Let's just say.
You just did.
He's a little mischievous.
This is where the gas door can open. What's that pop over there?
The kiddo appears to know just about everything when it comes to his great-grandfather's Hyundai Santa Fe.
Great-grandfather?
yeah, he's four.
It's not a truck. A Hyundai he's Santa Fe is an SUV.
Oh, here we go. So now we're getting into semantics.
It's not like a truck. It's not like my Ram truck.
No, it's not like your Ram truck. He's not a truck guy like you.
He didn't get in a Yankee Custom.
No, he did not.
I'd like to see him drive a Ram truck.
The kiddo appears to know just about everything.
The kiddo? Calm down.
The kiddo appears to know just about everything when it comes to his great-grandfather's Hyundai Santa Fe. And Tuesday morning, about 8:30, Sebastian put a real scare into his family when he took off in the SUV.
He should also be taken from his family.
Right.
That's probably the next thing.
No.
Yes.
Great
yes.
parenting. Let a four-year-old drive. I mean, I should have let my four-year-old drive.
You should have. Yeah. You let him out there. Right, because then now you don't have to drive everywhere.
By the time he's eight, I could just sit in the passenger seat.
Uber.
Yeah,
you can make money.
That's true. Exactly. Get him a job.
Yeah.
Panicking, anxiety, a little bit of almost all the emotions going on, and trying to calculate what happened. And
that's the mom.
And she, once she's looking for a next A-ball. That's why.
That definitely sounds drunk.
Yeah,
it sounds
there.
A little bit more than drunk.
Yeah, there's something I think going on with her.
Panicking, anxiety, a little bit of almost all the emotions going on, and trying to calculate what happened. And
Yeah.
And one thing she doesn't sound is embarrassed.
No, I'd be mortified. I would be not doing an interview with a TV station.
You can't be embarrassed when you're high on meth. I was trying to pick up my meth, and I don't know how the kid drove. I mean, I left the keys in the car. I left him running. You would think that he'd be smart enough not to drive the car. He's only four, but I had to get my meth. The dealer said, meet me around the gas station.
He wanted Reese's Pieces.
How do you get him down?
Sebastian demonstrated how he pulled it off.
So now they're talking about how did he get the keys, because the keys weren't in the truck. They were hanging up on one of those like key racks.
Right.
So he shows you how he did it.
Using great-grandpa Roy's walker to grab the keys from wall hooks. And when no one was watching, he bounded into the driver's seat and was off.
So you know those like walkers that also you can like sit in?
Right.
So he wheeled it up to the thing and then stood on that, grabbed the key, and then was off.
Nice job, kid.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
How is he hitting the pedals? The gas pedals. He's 4 years old.
Stay tuned.
He watches everything people do.
Oh, yeah. How many grandfather?
How many teeth?
The great-grandfather.
That's the great-grandfather.
Give me an over-under.
I'm going to say
four.
I'm going to say less than four.
Yeah, I think it might have been right. You might have hit it. It might be a push.
Maybe two and a half.
Two up, two down.
That rusty one at the back.
Still hanging on. Still counting that fourth
one. He watches everything people do. Does.
Well.
Do was on here.
And he'll repeat it.
From great-grandpa's house, Sebastian stretched his tiny body, his eyes barely able to see above the steering wheel. He backed out of the driveway, heading through some windy neighborhood streets before turning left onto incredibly busy University Avenue.
How did he back out of the driveway at 4 years old?
Like, I could see you get it in reverse or you get it in drive, but he backed out and then got it in drive and drove down a windy road?
Yes.
I'm not buying it.
Yes.
Something's off.
Sounds
here.
Like he's driven before.
The meth mom
probably has. She's probably had him go. Say, listen, safety first. I'm in no state to drive. You need to drive us there.
Yeah, there's something here.
At the heart of the morning rush. From there, witnesses report he drove erratically along University at speeds.
You're a little erratic.
What are you going to do? He's 4 years old.
Couldn't see.
Give a kid a break.
Yeah, couldn't
see. He can't reach the pedal and see at the same time.
Could not do both.
In the 10 to 15 mile an hour range.
10 to 15?
The 10 to 15 mile range.
So my guess is he barely was even hitting the gas.
Right.
Like it was just kind of going.
I could see myself behind that guy here like, oh, man, what's this old lady doing? Please move over.
You look over, you see a four-year-old in there. Like,
what the?
In the 10 to 15 mile an hour range.
Mad Dog Russo? He's Mad Dog Russo all of a sudden.
Belichick.
In the 10 to 15 mile an hour range.
10 to 15 mile an hour range.
Eventually, getting the Santa Fe safely into the gas station parking lot where police quickly met him.
I've never seen a driver this young before.
Was that right?
Thanks.
That's the police officer weighing in there. Thank you very much. He's never seen one that young. Wow.
I've never seen a driver this young before.
Okay. What was the previous low? Just wondering.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, how much did he beat the record by?
Operating a vehicle.
Yeah.
A day later, and there are some laughs. No one was seriously injured. And
some laughs.
That's it.
A day later, some laughs.
Yeah, like, what about
the kid should be dead. The kid should be dead.
He got lucky.
Or others are dead.
Or others is right.
82 car pileup.
Right. He hit nothing.
Need anything.
He's better than some of the people I see driving nowadays. Say,
that's true.
DSS involved?
Nah. I think they should be.
Come on, the 15-mile-an-hour range.
Okay.
Slow down.
I've never seen a driver this young before operating a vehicle.
A day later, and there are some laughs. No one was seriously injured in Sebastian's remarkable ride. But there are also some serious lessons for him and his family, including plans to lock up the keys going forward and to keep a closer eye on the youngster.
Probably a decent start.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, no one locks their keys.
Well, parenting 101, I mean, who really keeps an eye on their kids? Right. Who does that?
This is a good lesson for me.
Well, definitely the first one. But then as the more of them come, you sort of...
Yeah, that's true.
They got to self-police.
Do whatever they want.
At 4 years old, he's walking around. By that time, you're like, yeah, you're good to go.
He's fine.
Yeah. Laugh about it, but yeah, it could have been very serious. You know, he could have hit a car and not wearing the seatbelt.
That's a bad
talk about a funeral right now.
That's scary.
Oh, that's the
bad. Yeah, that is scary.
I mean, after all that,
at least he's being honest here.
Well, he didn't have a seatbelt on.
Well, he couldn't.
No, he didn't.
Because there's no way
to reach the pedals. No, there's no chance he could do all of that at once. There's no chance.
That's scary.
Yes, it is.
In Blaine, Paul Bloom, Fox 9.
Fox 9. He nailed the hell out.
Paul Bloom, Fox 9.
This might be our favorite guy. We've been to check in with this guy more often.
You got
to
get some more stories.
This guy's really strong.
He won't be in Blaine for long.
I got to say.
No, no, God, no.
New York.
Yeah, he's going places.
Hey, listen, when there's stories.
15-mile-an-hour range.
I'd clean that up.
When there's stories, at least this guy's passionate. I could see the passion's there.
The passion's off the charts.
I'd love to see him like on a shooting scene or something like that.
Well, Nick Caserio wants out of New England. He wants out of Blaine.
That's true. He could. His resume is probably all over the place if you want to find it.
Boston
Paul Bloom.
Next.
Fox 9.
Fox 9. Nailed the hell
out of
that.
There you go. There's the madness today. Aaron Rodgers apparently already off to a rocky start with his new head coach. We'll get into that. Plus, I got a question about Mookie Betts that we'll get to in the final hour of the program. Wiggy and Andy Hart are in for Dale. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
She said, no, you're wrong. I said, you got a lumpy butt. She got mad at me and yelled it, and I pissed in my pants. And I never did change my pee pants all day. I'm still sitting in my dirty pee pants.
I've never seen a driver this young before.
Because I will have Reese's.
That's scary.
Chip, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Paul Bloom, Fox 9.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Has missed it. He actually had a little tumble on the scooter, so he's being a lot more safe. I actually have a script here I was supposed to read about him because Jimmy kind of ripped him about his athletic ability. But I want to say that Matt LaFleur is a highly athletic former athlete who had an unfortunate accident in the gym. But because of his exceptional diet and work ethic, he'll be back sooner rather than later.
That, of course, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who was in the news a lot this offseason because he can't chug a beer. That was really the big story with Aaron Rodgers as it relates. You know,
kind of pathetic.
Kind of embarrassing. You know,
and
on the
somebody
stage
bought Danica a drink at a game. And
tough
it was
look
weird.
All around. Yeah, it was
he didn't even finish the beer. He stopped.
Did not finish it, right. He didn't just chug it slowly, quit. Right.
You don't need to judge him based on that.
Yeah, I kind of do, though.
You can't chug a beer, you're not a man.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely not a man. You can't chug a beer? I mean, that's like something you should be.
But also, you don't even know your own limits because you started to. It's one thing to just be like, I know myself. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. You're like, I'll do it.
Right.
Bail.
Yeah,
like,
right.
No, you can't do it that way.
You can't start something and not finish. No.
But he has a new head coach, Matt LaFleur, as the teams around the league try to get the next Sean McVay. Matt LaFleur is the coach of the Green Bay Packers. And apparently, he is taking away some of the control at the line of scrimmage from Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh.
And so this is an Aaron Rodgers quote. I don't think you want me to turn off 11 years. There's stuff that not many people in the league can do at the line. That's not a humble brag. That's just a fact. I mean, obviously, Tommy can do it, no doubt. Peyton could do it. Drew can do it. Mahomes will be able to do it. Ben has called the 2 minute for years. There are a few of us who have done it. It's kind of second nature, and that's just the icing on the cake for what I can do in this offense. So they haven't even played a game. They're not even playing a preseason game. He's already mad about, there's no way this, because he and McCarthy didn't get along well.
Right.
Right. And they still won a Super Bowl, and they still were pretty successful.
And McCarthy, when you think about it, when he probably took over as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, his resume was, I don't want to say polished is the word, but his resume was just bigger than this Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and
you know,
here's a guy, he's 39 years old. What's Aaron Rodgers, like 36?
Oh, he's got to be,
I believe 36.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's probably looking at him like, though, come on.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Who the?
Wait, who are you?
Yeah, he's 35. Remember, Rodgers 35.
Remember that story, and I forgot who wrote it, or I'd give them credit, but sort of how it all went south in Green Bay and the massages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And part of that was you had McCarthy calling plays, and then Rodgers calling a different play, and literally receivers not going to the line of scrimmage, not knowing which route to run because
brutal.
If they don't do Aaron's, he's never going to throw to him again.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're not doing what the coach tells them,
right.
And he's already going down that road here, basically saying, yeah, LaFleur is going to call something, but when we're in the right spot at the line of scrimmage, like, I'll be calling it.
You could see him in the huddle right now. Like, you could see Aaron Rodgers. I could imagine myself in that huddle and Aaron going,
yeah,
I know Matt wants us to run this play.
Not going
to
happen.
You're going to listen to me, guys, won Super Bowls, who's got records, or you're going to listen to some guy who played for the Omaha Beef.
And that's where,
and you know what? There's a little Kyrie there.
I was going to say
there's
the exact
Kyrie
same thing.
Comparison.
Like, there's something about the skill level clearly being there, but like how you lead. Like, when you're the guy, how does everybody follow you? And if Rodgers, like, that's why I think it's fair to say the overall package of Aaron Rodgers is overrated. Because for so many years, he's been looked at as probably the best quarterback. Like, oh, he doesn't have Belichick, so, you know, he's better than Brady. Like, a lot of people think he's better than Brady.
People tell you right now that they would rather Rodgers than Brady.
Like, a lot of people would for a long time.
Right.
And then you look back on it and you say, all right, well,
what's he won? What's he do late in games other than throw great Hail Marys?
There's some damning stats in about, like, against good teams late in games where he's, like, either 0-for or, like, 1-for. Like, he is really, really strong.
But he is physically gifted.
almost perfect in that sense.
He has the tools. He has,
he does.
When you think about a quarterback that kind of has pretty much everything, has the tools, has the ability to make all the throws. It's not like a runner, but does have good ability to get outside the pocket.
Oh, yeah, more than above average.
Right. So you look at him and you go, all right, he's put up the numbers. Like, let's be honest.
He's put up incredible numbers, but there's, like, something missing. I think Hart's right. Like,
it's like Kyrie.
Like, something's off. Like, if you're the guy, and in football it's different because you're the quarterback, you have to be.
It's the leadership quality in football, I don't think he has it. Which goes a lot, which means a lot more in football.
Do you think it's
going
to work with Matt LaFleur?
No, I told you.
No, and I've always said that because people have always said what you just brought up. What if Aaron Rodgers had Bill Belichick?
It would have
ended in year four because they could not have coexisted the way Brady and Belichick have for two decades.
Good point.
The thing about Rodgers, and that's why I said, like, I'm being serious. I could see him in the huddle going, you're going to listen to some guy who played for the Omaha Beef over me?
Did he really play for the Omaha Beef?
Yeah, he says as a player,
he played for the Omaha Beef.
The Sea Cows.
That in the Billings Outlaws.
Yeah, he had a good year with the Outlaws.
You got Beef?
Indoor Football League.
Yeah, the Beef.
And Aaron Rodgers looks like one of those players where it's like, you know, not that he's not going to respect him, but he's going to look at him like, come on, dude, you're three years older than me. You never played. It's not like you're getting a guy that is a young coach in the league, but had this, you know, it's not like it's Peyton Manning or something like that.
It was the coordinator with the Titans last year.
Right. You're riding McVay's coattails. Let's be honest. That's what he's going to think.
Right.
That you are the next big thing because of your boy McVay. Like, everybody was looking for the next McVay, next young hot commodity.
Right. Yeah.
I've been doing this a long time here, and it's worked for a long
time. I know what I'm doing at the line of scrimmage. Shut up over there.
He's also, Aaron Rodgers, like Kyrie, says things, and sometimes I think he says them to deliver them as funny, or this is going to be quirky, or it's me.
Yeah,
and they always come
weird.
Off wrong. They always fall
flat.
A little flat.
Yeah. Comes off as a big time diva.
Yeah. And then you get into the whole thing with his family and his parents.
There's some stories going on there.
There's a lot
there.
Will
he ever win another Super Bowl?
No.
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
I think...
Unless
then he might.
He might.
No, because I think the next group of quarterbacks is ready to pass him by. Like, he's still great. Like, he's still a great player. But the team's not ready. I don't think this is going to work.
I think that's always the issue with the Green Bay Packers. Now you look at the NFC North.
Like, the one year they had a good defense is when they won the whole thing.
Minnesota's going to be good. Who knows what Kirk Cousins does on offense. And you look at the Chicago Bears. So, you know, the NFC North, and you look at Aaron Rodgers, and you look at, I think a lot of it, and I don't even think he minds about not winning Super Bowls. I think he loves the fact to just be, I'm one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You know, he seems like one of those guys that can care less about winning a championship is because he has the numbers.
Right.
Because nobody's saying, oh, Rodgers is the reason why they're not winning. They're going, it's because of what's around them.
All right, add that to the conversation as well. 617-779-7937. Red Sox are on a bit of a winning streak, but I have a question for these guys. I have a question for you guys.
Is it August 1st already?
All right, he's out of this segment. No, he won't talk.
I got a question for Andy Hart.
I won. That was a big boy win last night.
That was a big boy win, but a bigger picture question. Is Mookie Betts leaving money on the table, or is he costing himself money with the season that he is having? We'll get to that coming up here on Dale and Keefe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.